الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد, my brothers and sisters, I am taking a slight break from the khutbas on the seerah because this is the first Jumu'ah of Ramadan. And so today I want to share with you some thoughts with regard to what Ramadan actually is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the full benefit of Ramadan al-Kareem and enable us to take full advantage of it, because we don't know whether this will be our last Ramadan. As I keep on reminding myself every time of the number of people, number of our friends, musallis of this masjid, who were here last Ramadan, but they are not here this Ramadan. And the question I ask myself is, last Ramadan when they were here, did they know that that was their last Ramadan? And so the question I ask myself is, that I am here this Ramadan, do I know whether this is my last Ramadan? Because no matter how long we live, one Ramadan will be our last. There is no doubt about this. You can live for 10,000 years, one Ramadan will be our last. And we must never die in a state where we regret at the time of death, thinking back about that Ramadan and say, if only I knew this was my last Ramadan, I would have done this and this and this and this. There's no point in that regret because it's gone. The time to take advantage of Ramadan is when we are in Ramadan. And Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us Ramadan in good health and the ability to do what He wants us to do. I'm happy to see so many people in the masjid. Today is an extremely hot day. Please take care of yourself. The best thing to guard against sunstroke is hydration, so drinking lots of water, but obviously you are fasting, so you can't drink water during the day. So drink in Zuhr and Futur. And also another very important thing is to keep the back of the neck covered. So when you are going out anywhere, wear some kind of headgear where the back of the neck is covered. That's where the actual heat from the sun comes, the back of the head. Rest of the body can get hot, nothing will happen, just the back of the head. If you get the sun on that, and that's why the Arabs wear the otra and so on. This is all clothing which is weather sensitive. My brothers and sisters, Ramadan al-Kareem comes with great goodness and blessings and the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and mercy. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who said that anyone who fasts for one day, not the whole month, he's talking about one day, anyone, and he's talking about any fast, not only in Ramadan. Obviously, the fasting of Ramadan is superior to the fasting of any other time of the day. This hadith applies to any fast, any nafil fast at any time of the year. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the meaning of which is, anyone who fasts for one day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will keep his face away from the hellfire for a distance covered by a journey of 70 years. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. 70 journey, a distance covered in a journey of 70 years. Please notice, he did not say a journey on horseback, a journey on a camel, maybe a journey on a rocket, maybe a journey on some device that has not even been invented. 70 years of that, maybe journey on a ray of light. That is the fastest thing that we know. 300,000 miles per second. Uthman ibn Abi al-As radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that fasting serves as a shield from the hellfire. And this is in An-Nasai, and it's authenticated by Shaykh Nasiruddin Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fasting and the Quran will intercede on behalf of the slave of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Fasting will say, O my Rabb, I prevented him from food and desires during the day, so accept my intercession. And the Quran will say, O my Rabb, I prevented him from sleeping at night, so accept my intercession for him. The intercession of both will thus be accepted. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad and authenticated by Shaykh Nasiruddin Al-Albani. Now this refers, of course, to reading Quran. It doesn't refer to the Quran which is sitting on your shelf and you are engaged in something else. But I think these clarifications sadly have to be made. Now, contrary to ignorantly romantic notions, fasting in Ramadan is not prescribed to teach the wealthy what it means to be poor. The amount of nonsense that I hear explaining Islam is not funny. I think it's important for people to learn what Islam is, so that when you present it to people, they don't fall off the chair laughing. It must sound dignified. So fasting is not prescribed to teach the wealthy what it means to be poor. Please understand, poverty is about insecurity. It is about lack of choice. It is about lack of dignity. It is about compulsion. It is about fear and despair. Poverty is about living on the edge without any safety net. It is not about present hardship, but of looking ahead at a life of unending and ever-increasing deprivation. Anyone who thinks that he can know what poverty is by merely bringing breakfast forward and postponing lunch with a fridge full of goodies and special foods at the time you break your fast is delirious and delusional. You will never know what it is to be poor until you are poor yourself. Ramadan is a month which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends as a boot camp to reset our lifestyles to a way that leads to success in this world and the next. This is the beauty of Islam. Islam doesn't demand renunciation of this life in order to attain success in the hereafter. Islam shows us a way of life that guarantees us popularity, influence, love, harmony, peace and prosperity in this life and Jannah in the Akhirah. The key to that is the concept of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said about Ramadan, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become al-muttaqun, people of taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is the overriding concern. Not a concern in your spare time, not a concern when you have nothing else to do. It's the overriding concern. Never to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we love the most, over and above anyone and anything else. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the love of anyone or anything else. It is the combination of khashyat, which is the awe of the majesty and glory of Allah, and shukr, which is thankfulness. This combination leads to the hub, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which, as I said, is unlike any other emotion that we are capable of feeling. How do we develop this love? We do it by focusing on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on His blessings. About His glory and majesty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself and described His glory and majesty in a way that nobody can equal or better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about His glory and majesty, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم
ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم You know the meaning of all of these ayats, you know where they are from, so I won't narrate the meanings here. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about his blessings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, 'allamahu al-bayan, ash-shamsu wal-qamaru bi-husban, wan-najmu wash-shajaru yasjudan, was-samaa'u rafa'aha ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو الأصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان خلق الإنسان من صلصال كالفخار وخلق الجان من مارج من فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان رب المشرقين ورب المغربين فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان وله الجوار فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان كل من عليها فان كل من عليها فان كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about his ni'mat, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجناتنا الفافا إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا يوم ينفق في الصور فتأتون أفواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described and mentioned his ni'mat and his blessings in terms of things that we see and experience everything in our lives, every day in our lives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew our attention to that day about which he said, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقُّ فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. My brothers and sisters, Ramadan al-Kareem comes to remind us of this day so that we live our entire lives remembering that this test is a test which will come. And this test is a test which will come, and this test is important because of what will happen thereafter. We are living now in this time when your children are going through various kinds of tests. There is JEET and there is NEET and God knows what there is. And you are very concerned about the marks or whether the children will get 19 marks in their 90s or 80s or what. And you are very concerned about all that, not because the marks have any intrinsic value, but because of what those marks represent in terms of the doors that will open thereafter, or that the doors that will remain closed thereafter. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ is that day and that test, after which will be determined which door will open for us and which door will remain shut. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa na'udhu bika minan nar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of Jannah for us and to shut the doors of Jahannam. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that simply saying Ameen after dua is worthless. The Ameen must be supported by actual actions. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua that I should be your companion in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will make dua, but help my dua with your actions. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that about his dua, then what is my dua, what is your dua, what is anybody else's dua? Dua must be supported by actions. We cannot make dua for Jannah while doing actions for Jahannam. You cannot make dua for Jannah while you continue to earn and deal in interest-based dealings. You cannot make dua for Jannah while you indulge in haram, while you indulge in selective obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and selective obedience of the sunnah of His Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, please, don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. Because a day will come when they will ask, the malaika will ask, alam ya'tikum nadhir? Did nobody come to warn you? Alam ya'tikum nadhir? Did nobody come to warn you? قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا. Of course people came. They came to warn us. But we denied them. But we refused to listen to them. But we presented counter arguments to them. But we got angry with them. We got upset with them. وَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. My brothers and sisters, please, let us not fall into that trap. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to wake us up. So we stop believing that we have nothing to change in our lives. We can understand all of this when we reflect, and that is the key reflection on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all that He blessed us with. When these two things we reflect on, inshallah al-musta'an, this will produce the effect of taqwa in our hearts, and this taqwa will be manifested in our actions. How do I know if I have taqwa? By looking at my actions. There's no other way. I can fool myself by thinking that I am the most muttaqi person in the world, but if that belief is not supported by my actions, then that is delusion, that is foolishness, that is fooling yourself. Ramadan is a boot camp. How is it a boot camp? Because obedience is about boundaries. It is about doing what we were told to do without question. Without question, not because obedience in Islam is blind, but because we recognize and know the one who is ordering us. We obey because we know two things very clearly. One, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us and wants the best for us and knows what that is better than we do. And number two, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do is for our benefit, not His benefit, because nothing can benefit or harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is basic logic. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know, and if we know more than He does, then why are we worshipping Him? In Islam, we have settled these basic questions, and we know that our Creator and Sustainer, Rabbul Alameen, wants the best for us, knows what that is, and has told us to do what is good for us, and to refrain from what is bad for us, and that to Him is our return. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to remind us about obedience by making what is normally permissible prohibited during a specific time from dawn to dusk. Why is something that is normally permissible, meaning that it is beneficial for us, prohibited during this time in Ramadan? To teach us a lesson that all permissibility and prohibition is for our benefit and is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If to obey Allah means to stop ourselves from that which is permissible in other times, what does it say about stopping ourselves from that which is haram all the time? If somebody asks you, why do you fast in Ramadan, what must you say? Because Allah said so. Yeah, what is the answer? That is the answer. Why? Because this is the order of Allah. Because Allah said so. So if somebody asks you, then why do you deal in interest when Allah said not to deal in it? أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah has made trade halal and has made riba, all forms of interest, haram. Why do you still deal in interest? How come you still deal in interest? How come you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and protection from your enemies when you have personally with your own hand written your name in the list of enemies of Allah by accepting a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam? Please understand, I'm not making this up. These are the ayat of the Quran. If you don't believe me, go read it. How can you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which enemy do you know helps his enemy? Which enemy do you know protects his enemy? So if Allah is your enemy and you made Allah your enemy because you went and signed your name on that bank form, that was the form, that was the list of enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You signed your name, nobody forced you. And when you signed your name in the list of enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you think your dua is accepted? Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? You're certainly not fooling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're certainly not fooling anybody with half a brain. I don't know who you are fooling. Maybe you should look in the mirror to know who you are fooling. And then you take this haram money and you go for Hajj with it. And you go for Umrah with it. And you pay for a masjid for it. And with it. And you pay for a madrasa. And you do this and you do that. Rasulullah said, Allah is pure. And who He accepts only that which is pure. There is no zakat on haram money, not because it is exempted, but because it is in the fire. There is no Hajj and no Umrah and no Sadaqah and no Khairat, and nothing is acceptable from haram money. You can give until you die, not one cent will go into your record. No matter how much good it does in this dunya, not one hasana will come into your record when you die. Please, have mercy on yourself. Get out of haram income. Get out of haram activities. Get out of selective obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Get out of the haram clubs that you belong to. You thought I forgot that, right? I didn't. Get out of them. Have mercy on yourself. Don't fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fast because Allah said so. But you will not leave haram activities because Allah said so. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? As I told you, get angry with me. I don't care. Have mercy on yourself. You pay lakhs of rupees to call singing girls and have gana parties in the name of Ramadan. In the name of writing tafasir of the Quran, and there are ulama sitting in that majlis. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Am I exaggerating? Am I lying? Some of you were there in those majalis. I know your faces. Tell me I am lying. Or ask yourself, how dare you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly like this? My brothers and sisters, wake up. Before the time comes when you will be woken up. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to bring about total behavioral change, with helping us to make a complete lifestyle choice, to make us do hijrah from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah to make it easy for you, to make it possible for you, to give you more calcium in the backbone than in your skull, so that you can stand up like men and do what your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu told you to do, no matter who is displeased, because you know and you believe that the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supersedes the pleasure of anybody else. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then therefore to give you the thawab of hijrat, inshallah al-musta'an. Because that is the real meaning of hijrat. That you go away from the obedience of Allah, from the disobedience of Allah, into the obedience of Allah. Now, brothers and sisters, in the middle of all the ayat of Ramadan al-Kareem, in Surah Al-Baqarah, comes this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when my slave asks about me, I am close to him. When my slave just asks about me, I am close to him. I will let him ask me, I will give him. And then Allah put two conditions. Let him obey me and let him have iman in me. My brothers and sisters, Ramadan al-Kareem is the month of dua. Build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repair your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make any conditions on dua. Create your own style of dua. Ask Allah in any way you like, any language you like, any situation you like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put conditions for all kinds of ibadat. We need wudu for salah, we need ihram for umrah and hajj and so on and so forth. For zakat, you must have the nisab. But for dua, there are no conditions. You can ask dua in a state of purity or impurity. You can ask dua standing, sitting, lying down, walking, running, any situation, anywhere you are, you can talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make dua, provided two conditions. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalla. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this dua, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam was dua. And that dua was the dua of istighfar. That was the key to return to Jannah from where Adam alayhi salam had been sent into this world. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam to say what? Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. And that is the dua that I remind myself and you to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we may have done till today, my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu will forgive. He promised to forgive. He said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, tell me, who do you know has the mercy to call those who transgress and those who disobey and those who anger him my slaves? My slaves. Allah could have said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, Ya ayyuhan nas, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, anything. But Allah said, Qul ya ibadi. Say, oh, to them, oh Muhammad, my slaves. Alladhina asrafu ala anfusim. Who? Those who transgressed, those who disobeyed, those who angered me. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. Verily and truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. He is the one who is the most forgiving, most merciful. My brothers and sisters, please, let us take advantage of this and let us seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you wronged someone in any way, seek their forgiveness in this life. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will not forgive the one who wronged somebody until the one who was wronged forgives him first. With regard to huququllah, it is sufficient to make tawbah and istighfar. With regard to huququl ibad, apart from tawbah and istighfar, we must also make amends. We must compensate. We must go and apologize to that person. If you have taken something from somebody, return it and give it back. Otherwise, on the day of judgment, that person will take it from you, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is not a fate that we would wish for the worst enemy. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final crowning glory of this month is Laylatul Qadr. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily we have sent it, meaning this Quran, down in the night of Al-Qadr, ليلة القدر. And what will make you know, how will you understand what is the night of decree, what is Al-Laylة القدر? And Allah is saying, the night of Al-Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, khayrun min alfi shahr. It is better than 1,000 months of ibadah. If someone were to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, ceaselessly, without any halt at all, for 1,000 months, that reward, all of that ibadah accepted, that reward will be, would be less than the ibadat on Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not specify which night it is. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it is search for it. He said, search for it in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And out of those last 10 nights, he said, search for it in the odd nights. In the odd nights. So anyone who claims that they know that Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th or 25th or whatever is lying, because they are saying something which the Prophet ﷺ did not say. And no matter which dalil they give you, all the dalail are deductive reasoning, even by the best of people, but there is no one who is better than Muhammad ﷺ. And if he said search, as far as I am concerned, we search. There is no specific night which can be stated as Laylatul Qadr. The beauty of this, the Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, is there some sign? Is there some sign that a particular night is Laylatul Qadr? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the sign is that the following morning, the sun will rise and the rays will not be sharp. See the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now what good is this sign? Because this sign is not coming to you before, so you can prepare. This sign is telling you after the night has gone, that, oh my God, last night was Laylatul Qadr. And what were you doing? Now if you were doing something good, alhamdulillah, good for you. But if you were, you know, you were sitting in some cinema or something, I mean, imagine. Somebody actually sent me a picture of in Dubai, in one of the malls, there is this... I don't know, what cinema is it called? Maybe I shouldn't even mention it. Anyway. But this cinema, which is, you know, beautiful recliner seats, and there is a table there with all the stuff for iftar, and the movie playing, and they are waiting for the... Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Wallahi, I tell you, wealth is a bigger test than poverty. Wealth is a bigger test than poverty. Never make dua for money. My whole life... My father used to have an argument with me about this. I said, I never ever made dua for money. I do not ask Allah for wealth. My father used to say, what is wrong with asking halal wealth? I said, I don't want even halal wealth. I don't want to make dua for wealth. What Allah gives me, let Him give me. As His gift. I never make dua for wealth and I never make dua for authority. And Allah has kept me free from both. Alhamdulillah. It's a bigger test than poverty. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to accept. And then of course the last issue on this, and Laylatul Qadr, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, she asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah bless her for all the questions that she asked him. She said, Ya Rasulullah, if I were to find Laylatul Qadr. Now imagine that. These are the statements of people who had a right to say, I know. And today without any right, we determine 27th night, 23rd night. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she is saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I find Laylatul Qadr, what dua must I ask Allah? What dua must I make? Because this is that, you know, absolute dua acceptance time. What dua must I? What did he teach her? We know all of this, right? I'm just repeating to you what you already know. What did he tell her? Allahumma innaka afuun kareem tuhibbul af fa'fu anni. He said, oh Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, you are the most forgiving and the most glorious. You love to forgive, so forgive me. See the du'as of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kitni khubsurat du'a. But Allah, aap sabse bade maaf karne wale aur sabse bade izzat wale. और आपको माफ करने का शौक है, आप माफ करके खुश होते हैं, तो अल्लाह मुझे माफ कर दीजिए। तो क्या बोल रहे हैं? अल्लाह, आप जो चीज से आप खुश होते हैं वो करिए, खुश हो जाइए, बीच में मेरा फायदा हो गया। मेरे शेख बोलते थे, दुआ करते थे, दुआ करते करते बोलते थे, अल्लाह दे दे, बात बनती है मेरी, क्या तेरा बिगड़ता है? सर बात बनती है मेरी, क्या तेरा बिगड़ता है? अल्लाह दे दे, अल्लाह इन्नक अफूवन करीम तुहिब्बुल अफ्व फ़ाफ़ अन्नी, अल्लाह यू लव टू फॉरगिव सो फॉरगिव मी। Do what you love to do. Do what you love to do. You hate to give punishment, don't punish. You love to forgive, so forgive. Hajiwa Lakshan. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you Ramadan al-Kareem in the best of health and iman, and to enable you to make changes in your lives, about which on the day when you meet the malaika, you will be very, very happy. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the courage to resist and to break those habits and break those things that you do today, which if you continue to do, then on the day when you meet the malaika, you will be very regretful. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from that regret. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you all that you ask with khair and barakah and afiyah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from any evil that you know and do not know. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide you halal sustenance from sources that you could not even imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take you out of haram and into halal. Allahumma akfina bi halalika an haramik wa aghnina bi fadlika amman sivak. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you, to bless this masjid, to protect this masjid, to protect your hearts, to keep our hearts together in this masjid. Alhamdulillah, this is the 11th year of this masjid. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect this masjid and to protect it from all forms of evil, from all forms of harm, from all threats, from inside, from outside, those we know and those we don't know. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with your coming and to reward you in keeping with His Majesty and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.